Let's turn to God's word in Ezekiel now. Ezekiel chapter 2. On the last time I read Ezekiel to you, we read of this vision that Ezekiel received from the Lord. He was a man with other men and women in exile in Babylon, and the Lord is revealing himself to Ezekiel and calling him to be a prophet, to speak God's word. And in that vision, we saw God's majestic splendor. Amazing things were revealed to him and to us as well in the Word. And in the sight of those things, this one who was seated on the throne, this mighty throne made up of cherubim and wheels and the Spirit of God and all the rest that we found there, now this one whom he sees speaks to him and calls him to do a very hard thing. And as I read now in Ezekiel 2 through chapter 3, verse 15, I'd like you to remember that Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. So let's give our attention to God's word now. Ezekiel 2 through chapter 3, 15. And he said to me, "Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you." And as he spoke to me, the Spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. And he said to me, "Son of man, I send you to the people of Israel, to nations of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants also are impudent and stubborn. I send you to them, and you shall say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God.' And whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Do not be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." And when I looked, behold, a hand was stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of a book was in it. And he spread it before me, and it had writing on the front and on the back, and there were written on it words of lamentation and mourning and woe. And he said to me, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel." So I opened my mouth, and he gave me this scroll to eat. And he said to me, "Son of man, feed your belly with this scroll that I give you, and fill your stomach with it." Then I ate it, and it was in my mouth as sweet as honey. And he said to me, "Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of foreign speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many peoples of foreign speech and a hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely if I sent you to such, they would listen to you. But the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they are not willing to listen to me, because all the house of Israel have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart. Behold, I have made your face as hard as their faces, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Fear them not, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house." Moreover, he said to me, "Son of man, all my words that I shall speak to you receive in your heart, and hear with your ears, and go to the exiles to your people, and speak to them, and say to them, 'Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of a great earthquake. The Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord being strong upon me. And I came to the exiles at Tel Abib, who were dwelling by the Kebar Canal, and I sat where they were dwelling, and I sat there, overwhelmed among them 7 days. This ends the reading of God's word. May he bless it to us. So in this chapter, and a little bit of the next one, you probably noticed several phrases sticking out, phrases that repeated multiple times. House of Israel, rebellious house, rebellious house, rebellious house of Israel, over and over again. You also heard Ezekiel being called many times the Son of Man, a title that our Lord himself will use of himself, one of the primary ways he uses to describe himself. We also see in this passage the movement of the Spirit, and then multiple times and in a few different ways. We hear of Ezekiel being called to eat of these words and to speak, whether they listen or not, and they will not listen, God says. I'd like to walk with you through this passage, section by section, and consider God's word with you. We begin in chapter 2, in verse 1 through 2:2, and we hear of the sender. This is connected, as I mentioned before, with the previous chapter, where we have this great vision of the glory of the Lord himself, and it's that one who says to me, Son of man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. And amazingly, what happens is that the Spirit enters to him and sets him on his feet. This is going to become one of the great themes of this passage. As I mentioned, Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. Ezekiel is unable to stand. He's unable to fulfill this call on the Lord, just to stand up. That is until the Holy Spirit enters into him and causes him to stand up. Ezekiel will later on command a great army of bones to rise up, to stand up, and likewise they will, and they will stand up by the work of the Spirit in them. The Son of Man, Jesus Christ, was also anointed by the Spirit, and he did what he was called to do through that anointing. And likewise, we in him also stand up and walk in new life because of the Spirit of God. The sender really matters. Because as we come to see, Ezekiel's calling is going to be a very difficult one. There are going to be temptations to stray from it, just as we all face temptations to stray from our calling. And at that moment, at those moments, that's when it's most important for him to remember who it is who has called him and what he has been called to do. Who he is called to go speak to is described in verse 3 and 4, the beginning of 4. He is sent to the house of Israel. And they are described multiple times as being rebellious. Some of the most descriptive language is here used at the beginning. We're told that Israel, whom Ezekiel is supposed to speak to, they have rebelled against me. He says in verse 3 that they are nations of rebels. It's a very interesting way to speak of Israel, because Israel, after all, is usually just considered a nation. Probably what's going on here is the Lord is speaking of Israel as he usually speaks of the nations. He's merging them together as a way to show the kind of judgment that is going to be on not my people, as they are referred to in another prophet. They have been excluded. They are now out of the promised land. They have become like the nations, first in their sin and now in their judgment. They are nations of rebels. Their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. We see the sins of the fathers being passed down here in verse 4. The descendants are also impudent and stubborn, or we might translate this hard-faced and hard-hearted, like later when he says they have hard foreheads and hard hearts. Their faces, their foreheads, they are stony-faced, we might say. Have you ever tried to deal with someone who is stony-faced, hard-faced against you? On these words, impudent and stubborn, in English we use impudent to describe someone who is bold with contempt and disregard. Someone who looks at you and just doesn't care. Someone who looks at you and is impertinent, shameless, totally satisfied in their not being one with you. Stubborn probably comes from the word stump. You know what a stump, if you've ever had to try to get a stump out of the ground, it's hard, it's a stumper, right? You pry and you pull and you move and it just won't move. It's strong, it's stubborn, it's obstinate. And this is what God's people are being like. They are not listening to him, and because Ezekiel's a prophet, they are not going to listen to Ezekiel either. He says, I send you to them, and you shall say to them, thus says the Lord. And then, and he promises to him that though they will not hear him, they will know that a prophet has been among them. And it is because Ezekiel's words will come true. The things that he predicts, the things that he prophesies will come to pass, and they will know that he is a true prophet, like Moses and like Christ. In verse 6 and the following verses, it now gets to Ezekiel's emotions after these words, right? How would you respond to a message like this? We know how others have responded to a message like this. Might think of another prophet, Jonah, right? Imagine you had to be the one to go to a place that where it might not go well, where things might not go as you like. Imagine, and Jonah even thought there might be a chance they would repent. Here, Ezekiel knows that it's going to be hard. Imagine that you were the messenger of a king, and you had to go to the king's enemies who hated your king and tell them that his judgment was coming, right? Don't kill the messenger, right? The common phrase. This is exactly what's going on here. The concern that might be on his heart, and that's why God tells him, don't be afraid. He says in verse 6, and you, son of man, be not afraid of them, nor of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. My guess is, being in this city and among you, there's at least one person here who has sat or been bitten by a scorpion. Not a pleasant thing. It's something that we avoid. It's something we watch out for. He is telling Ezekiel that even if it's that bad, even if it's like sitting on scorpions, which it will be, he says, you are not to be afraid. You are to sit down. Be not afraid of their words nor their looks. You shall speak to them. So we know that one bad way that Ezekiel could possibly respond to this hard word is by being afraid. There is a second way, and it stems probably from fear, and that's rebellion. In verse 8 he says, but you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Be not rebellious like that rebellious house. Do not join in their rebellion. And how would he join in their rebellion? Well, the chief and the most obvious way for Ezekiel to do that would be refusing to do what God has just told him to do. God has just told him, whether they hear or not, no matter how hard it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter how much suffering you have to go through, you must go. And if Ezekiel says, no, I'm not going to do it, then he joins them in their rebellion. He says, be not like them. Be not rebellious like that rebellious mouth. Instead, open your mouth and eat what I give you. He must receive the word of God in his mouth and speak it with his mouth. And here, then amazingly, this symbol of the word in the mouth becomes a kind of reality where in this vision, Ezekiel is called to eat the word. A scroll is opened, a hand is stretched out before him, a scroll, you know, a long wound up piece of paper. There's writing on both sides. And this writing is hard writing. We read at the last verse of chapter 2 that it's lamentation and mourning and woe. We read a little bit in Psalm 77 the words of someone who is lamenting, who is feeling under the woe of God, who is mourning loss and who is suffering. These are hard words to read. They're hard words to speak, and that's what Ezekiel is going to be called to do. He is called to eat this word and to speak it. In chapter 1, verse 3, the Lord says to Ezekiel, "Son of man, eat whatever you find here." It's yet another call for Ezekiel to do whatever God commands him to do, whether it's hard or whether it's easy. It's often tempting in our lives to avoid the hard things. We spend a lot of our lives, I spend anyway, a lot of my life trying to figure out how to make things easier. How do I make scheduling easier? How do I make money management easier? How do I make this meeting easier? How do I make all the time, right? We have apps, we have phones, we have systems upon systems upon systems about making things easier. And there's a lot of good to that. But sometimes the Lord purposefully chooses to not make our lives easier. Sometimes the Lord chooses to make our lives hard, to cause us to eat lamentation and mourning and woe. And it may be tempting to avoid these things, but when God gives us either by direct command or by the hand of providence, we must not refuse them. The Lord says, "Take up your cross and follow me." Peter tells us, "Don't be surprised when the fiery trials come upon you." There are things in this life that we are called to expect, we are called to be ready for, and called to move forward in faith, no matter what. And if we don't, then we are rebellious. If we don't, if we refuse the hand of the Lord, if we refuse the instructions and the directions of the Lord, we are rebellious. To not trust in God and instead turn aside thinking that we can do better on our own, that we can find a better path, an easier way, that's what Israel kept falling into. Over and over again. Things were not going well, and they'd jump into the arms of this God or jump into the arms of that nation, turning away from the God who had promised to care for them in the good times and in the bad. And it's because of that rebellion that God is now equipping this prophet with this amazing vision and the power of his Spirit to now go forth and speak judgment on these people. As one who is called to speak judgment, he says to Ezekiel, "Don't be one who comes under the judgment." How does Ezekiel avoid this rebellion? How do you fear God more than man? One way is by reminding ourselves of who the Lord is, by keeping this vision in our minds and other visions of the Lord that are given in Scripture. And of course, the greatest vision of God of all, which is in Jesus Christ himself, the image of the invisible God, as the Scriptures say. When we look at him and when we see his suffering and when we see him on the cross, we come to understand what judgment is, what judgment for rebellion is, and how terrible it is. And we are warned. But we are also warned, as we are warned, we are also encouraged that by that death of the Son of God, by the death of the Son of Man, who became man for men to save us from our sins, when we look at the one who not only died but rose again from the dead and rose up on these clouds, these same clouds that are described here in Ezekiel, we can find great encouragement in the victory of Christ, in the conquering of Christ, in his love and grace for us. Oftentimes, what we need, to put it another way, is a vision of God that is bigger and clearer than the sense of trouble that we have about this or that thing. And that vision of God, we get that not by some kind, by manipulating our emotions into some mystical experience or speculation. We get it by reading and trusting his word. Word that is full of amazing images and visions of the prophets. A word that is commanding and fearful and terrifying and comforting and hopeful. A word that gives us a vision of God that is true, that we can depend on because it's his very spirit that speaks these things to us, just as he spoke to Ezekiel. An amazing, amazing thing. God gives to us a similar word. In the word of Christ, he gives us a word of judgment on the world, a judgment of the rebellious, a word that goes against the sins, the lusts, the pleasures of this world. In the scriptures, in the gospel, God gives us a word that condemns false religions, a word that upholds God's created order, a word that calls us to worship God alone in Christ alone by faith alone, a word, in other words, that the world will hate. It will be a stumbling block to them, an offensive thing to them. And the world will often hate those who speak it. And we will feel their wrath. But it doesn't begin to compare to the wrath of God, which we have been saved from in Jesus Christ. And so that stumbling stone becomes the cornerstone, the foundation of our faith, not something we try to get around or skirt or ignore or hide, but something we stand on with confidence that God will care for us. We speak the words of God to ourselves and to the world, and then we let God take care of the rest. What will be, will be. That's not our job to figure out. We do what God calls us to do. And what God calls us to do is very similar to what he calls Ezekiel to do. To eat the word and to speak the word and to live by it. Well, after giving this word to Ezekiel, we read in verse 3 that it was sweet as honey. Which is such a surprising thing, I think, after all this mourning and lamentation and woe and rebellious house. And he has to eat this word and do whatever I say, and he eats it, and then he... Well, that was kind of sweet. As sweet as honey, he says. Now later, he's going, at the end of this section, he's going to describe a bitterness that he feels as well. And this is often our experience of the gospel. There is a kind of bittersweetness to it. Because in the cross, which is what the gospel is all about, we have both the judgment of God and the grace of God coming together in one place. There's bitterness to it. There's wrath. There's anger. There's torment. A man of sorrows, our Savior. But there's also life and healing and restoration and love. Ezekiel gets his first bit of comfort as he tastes the honey-sweet word of God. And this is good because things get harder from here. In verses 4 through 11, the Lord says to Ezekiel again, "A son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words, for you will not speak, or for you are not sent to a people of foreign speech." Before he tells them that whether or not they listen to you must go, but now he tells them that they will not listen to you. The ante has just been upped. Now verse 7 says, "The house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, for they have not listened to me. They have a hard forehead and a stubborn heart." But you know what God does? God equips him again. We see in this calling of Ezekiel to this hard thing, we see him equipping Ezekiel. In verse 8, We read that God says, I have made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their forehead. Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Emery and flint are two really hard materials. They're sometimes used on concrete and other places to create, you know, non-slip surfaces. Perhaps you've heard of emery boards that are used to file fingernails down. Or they'll use emery sometimes to shape, deal with rice, in milling rice. It's a really hard material. One of the hardest and most durable materials we know of. And Ezekiel's face is going to be like that. Like that black, hard stuff that you don't slip your feet on when you go into certain places. His face is going to be like that. God is equipping him with the fortitude to resist, to stand strong. As I've heard people say sometimes, he's filling his spine with steel, right? He's preparing him to do this hard thing. God, and the important thing to remember here is that God equips those he calls. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, but it does mean he will be with you. And so we see in verses 12 through 14, again, the Spirit at work. The Spirit lifts up Ezekiel, and this wonderful thing happens. If Ezekiel was feeling at all discouraged, now he gets this, sense that God is with him. It's much more than a sense. You hear it for yourself. The Spirit lifted him up. And I heard behind me the voice of a great earthquake. Blessed be the glory of the Lord from its place. It was the sound of the wings of the living creatures as they touched one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, and the sound of the great earthquake. This corresponds to what we read in chapter 1, verse 20. And there we read, wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went, that is the cherubim, and the wheels rose along with them. Ezekiel is on the move because the Spirit is on the move. And because the Spirit is on the move, the great warrior chariot of God is on the move. As God's chariot gets going, these great wheels that are tied with the angels and the Spirit and him sitting on the throne above it all, clothed in clouds and darkness and lightning and a rainbow, this is the one who goes with Ezekiel. This is the one who causes Ezekiel to stand. And as encouraging as that must have been, this glory and this power is also very overwhelming. And so we read in the last few verses that it is the Spirit lifts him up and sets him down among these exiles. He sat there overwhelmed for 7 days. And the scriptures even give us a little more insight into how Ezekiel was feeling. It says that, the way this is translated here, it says, I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit. Or you could translate this something like, he went bitter in the heat or the hotness of his soul. The word heat here has something to do with a kind of powerful internal force. It's sometimes used of like venom or poison of a snake. It's sometimes used of the glow of wine, right? This sort of power and warmth and hotness to it. And that heat, this sort of power, I might translate it something like his heart was hot. And it was hot with this kind of anger, this bitterness. I think what's going on here is he is feeling in his body the judgment that the Lord has for the people. That same power and righteous anger that the Lord is going to pour out on his people, he's now pouring it out in his prophet. The Spirit is strengthening him in this word that he is called to speak, and he will speak it in a way that is in a way that matches the words that are spoken. The Spirit lifts him up, and he finds in his heart this anger, this hot heart, as the hand of the Lord is strong upon him. And he is overwhelmed. As we think about all of this, as we imagine ourselves being in a similar situation, how difficult that would be, I want to close by reminding us all that this is not nearly as difficult or as overwhelming as what our Lord experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane when he sweated drops of blood because of the wrath of the Lord that was going to come upon him. And Ezekiel will also experience that judgment in the coming days, or in the coming passages, in Ezekiel's coming days. He is going to enact with his body and with his words signs of judgment, which are strange and uncomfortable and gross. And in all of them, Ezekiel begins to experience in some ways the judgment of the Lord himself. And in this, Ezekiel, the Son of Man, is a type of Christ. He reminds us of what Jesus is and who Jesus is as a prophet of the Lord as well. Jesus, likewise, will not just experience bits of God's wrath or symbols of God's wrath, but God's wrath, period. Everything that you and I deserved as those who belong to the rebellious house of man. Jesus, who came to be like us, to take on sin, though he knew no sin, though he was righteous, though he was not rebellious, though he was obedient in every way, he experienced in his soul and in his body the wrath of God, the darkness of judgment, the heat of these things, of the anger of God. But like Ezekiel, and better than Ezekiel, Jesus was faithful. And because he was faithful, and because he gave us this word, the judgment that Ezekiel is going to testify to and prophesy about, the judgment that he is even now beginning to experience, the judgment that we begin to feel as the chariot of this divine warrior begins to move, is a judgment that is past for us. And when we enter into the glory of the Lord, we enter as those who are counted as righteous as Jesus is. Totally unafraid, but joining our voices with the angels and the cherubim and the saints of the righteous made perfect in the glory and praise of God. And because of that, when we go out into the world and call to do the prophetic ministry that we are called to do, whether you have the particular calling as I do as a minister of the gospel, or whether you are an ordinary Christian with the general office of speaking the word of the Lord, all of us have a responsibility to speak of the cross as it truly is, with its bitterness and its pain because of sin, but also the sweetness of the gospel, the sweet promise that when we trust in the Lord, who is our prophet and our priest and our king, that God does well and we are well in him. And just as God equips Ezekiel here by his Spirit, so also he equips us. He tells us in his word that when we put our faith in his Son, he gives us his Spirit as well. Let's pray and ask that God would do just that among us.